Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Court strikes down President Biden's student debt relief plan. Just a short time ago, the president coming before the cameras, vowing the fight is not over.
Tonight, major rulings. The Supreme Court shuts down President Biden's student debt forgiveness plan and sides with a web developer who refuses to provide services promoting gay marriage in a blow to LGBTQ rights.
Tonight, a bitterly divided Supreme Court rules with blockbuster decisions on student debt relief and LGBTQ rights.
Yeah, it was a big Friday. There's no doubt about it. It was a lot of stuff happened on Friday. We finally got the rulings that we were anticipating, at least getting a ruling on. The one that has made, an awful, really more news, frankly, than the one about the wedding website designer out of Colorado. I think in part because... I mean, even that ruling is, I think, very straightforward, but okay, fine. But that's like the, we've seen this case or similar ones before, and so it wasn't all that surprising. Although it is worth noting that the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, it was decided several years ago, really didn't say that the law was problematic. It really just sent it back and said, you guys didn't follow your own procedures. So that's why this case had come forward again. But that's not the one I want to focus on. The one I want to focus on, of course, is the student loan waiver, elimination, forgiveness, reduction, however you want to call it, plan that President Biden put in place under the Secretary of Education. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, no, you can't do that. I haven't read all of the opinion. I've read, maybe a third of it so far. And this is a weird case because, I told you when we did the oral arguments for this case that there were two questions. There was always two questions when it comes to any Supreme Court case. Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Any Supreme Court case. The first question is a question of standing. Can you show that you were harmed, that you're justified in being a litigant? You can't go to the Supreme Court and ask them for advice. Like, you can't say, well, I think this law is unconstitutional. Can you tell us? The way the law works is because you would have millions of lawsuits. You would have lawsuits like you have book challenges. You would have, people who are busybodies, basically, would want to file lawsuits on everything. And then the court would have to hear all of these different cases. So instead, you have the question of standing. Standing means that the court is really only there to answer the question of, if you have been harmed by something, then is the harm caused by an, in this case, unconstitutional or illegal action? Did they violate the law in causing you the harm? In which case, we can fix that. But if there's been no harm, there's no reason for the court to get involved, because if we do what you want, it doesn't change your life. It might change the political outcome, something that you're interested in, but that is not the same as changing or remedying a harm done to you by somebody breaking the law or violating the Constitution. That's why standing exists, okay? It's a good principle. It's a little tricky. There are a lot of cases where standing is the issue, and it kind of gets frustrating sometimes. You'll read a court opinion and they send it back for, or they disqualify it for not having achieved standing, and then they don't rule on the merits of the case. And so it spends years getting its way to the Supreme Court, and then, this case doesn't qualify. We shouldn't hear this case. And you're like, I'd solve the problem. And they don't. In this case, you had an organization called MOHELA, which is the entity that oversees the student loans in the state of Missouri. And MOHELA is separate from the state of Missouri, but it's called an instrumentality of the state of Missouri. The state of Missouri created them. There are members of the Missouri government that sit on the board, but not only members of those folks. There's like five and two, I think, if I remember correctly. And they claimed standing because if $10,000 on average of student loan debt is forgiven, then they will lose about $44 million a year. And so that's harm to MOHELA. At the time this case came out, I told you that one of the big questions was going to be standing, and it was. The problem is, I think the court got standing wrong. I actually side with Elena Kagan on this. I think that MOHELA, as a separate entity that could have brought this lawsuit, should have brought this lawsuit. It should not have been the state of Missouri. Now, the argument from the Roberts Court is it harms Mohila, therefore it harms the state. And the state can always step in to basically defend the interests of one of its instrumentalities. Like, there was a university case where the university didn't sue, but I think it was Texas, if I remember correctly, sued on their behalf against another state, if I remember. Anyway, it's a little vague to me. But that was allowed because the state can sue on behalf of the university. I don't know. It seemed to me like that was a weak argument. So I don't think standing was achieved. If Mohila had sued, standing would not be an issue. So it's really the wrong entity that sued. But the Roberts Court disagrees with me, and so there you go. Then the question of the merits. Well, the merits are really easy. And this is why I'm disappointed that this was a 6-3 decision. I think this should have been a 9-0. Either they all should have agreed about standing, or even if they disagreed about standing, they should have all agreed about the law itself. The problem is that Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they disagreed about standing, and they thought that the law authorizes the Biden write-down of $10,000 or $20,000 worth of debt for tens of millions of borrowers. And it most clearly does not. The Roberts Court is in, like, clearly and obviously the strength of the law when they show that nothing in the law can properly be interpreted to grant them this kind of power to do $800 billion worth of debt write-off. Now, if Congress had actually explicitly said, we grant you this authority, then no problem. I mean, you could object politically, but it's certainly within Congress's power to authorize this. The problem is they didn't already do so, and so this is a congressional decision, not an executive decision. I'll explain more in just a second. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
And Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. Summit Boulevard also not showing any accidents. This is presented by ECUA, and Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. You call by 2 p.m. the day before your normal service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. That's traffic on the fives. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. But by the way, this is... Anybody who pays good attention to, you know, Supreme Court or law or sort of anything in this vicinity, you're going to get to the place where you're frustrated, because what you want from the Supreme Court, I mean, like, kind of what you heart want, is you want them to decide this policy is a good policy or this policy is a bad policy. That's not the business the Supreme Court is in. That's exactly not the business they're supposed to be in. That's what Congress is for. That's what the president is for. That's what your senators and your representatives and your, that you don't want the Supreme Court deciding policy. All you want them deciding is whether this policy is allowed under the Constitution or authorized under pre-existing law or not. That's all you want them doing. And the problem in a case like this, okay, is everybody has really strong opinions about this case. Most of the opinions that you have are political, not legal. You're not reading the HEROES Act and deciding on the narrow legal question of whether this is an authorized act under the powers granted in that law. You're asking questions like, well, how dare they forgive student loans and they don't forgive credit card debt? Or why do they forgive student loans for people who haven't paid, but then the people who did already pay them off, they don't do anything for those folks? Or why would they forgive loans and then don't do anything about solving the problems that lead to excessive student debt in the first place, the problem with the inflation of you know, the cost of education, or the mass marketing of education as a useful thing that everybody ought to have as opposed to going to trade schools? And oh, by the way, why do they write down university loans and not trade school loans? Like, there's all kinds of those questions. And those are all good questions, but those are political questions. Those are questions about the rightness of the policy. That's not what the Supreme Court's ruling on. And so when you hear, I just heard a clip from President Trump earlier making a claim at a rally like, you know, this is not fair to all of the people who, you know, paid off their loans. Well, okay, I agree. You're a politician. That's a political question. But that has nothing to do with the Supreme Court ruling. Supreme Court ruling is not about whether this is a wise policy. It's about whether it's a legal policy. And the question of legality is, did Congress intend to grant the Secretary of Education the ability to do something like this with the stroke of a pen and create $400 billion in reduced debt obligations for student borrowers? And the answer is no way. And put everything aside about the language of the law, and I just here's this one point that I think is actually kind of interesting. You can tell that Congress didn't intend to do this by the vote on the HEROES Act. The vote on the HEROES Act was unanimous in the Senate, and you had one dissenting representative in the House. George Miller, a Democrat, voted against it. And he later corrected the congressional record, saying that he meant to vote for it. You only had one representative vote against the HEROES Act. And he later changed his vote to yay. So this was unanimous in both houses and then signed by the president. Here's why I bring that up. Is it controversial whether the president or the Secretary of Education has the power to broadly forgive $10,000 or $20,000 or any amount? Because there's no reason why he has to limit it to 10 or 20, right? Theoretically, he could waive it all. In a post-emergency situation like the coronavirus pandemic, is that a controversial question or an easy question? Well, it's controversial. We're having an argument, right? Many people disagree with this policy. Many people love this policy. That's a political disagreement. Do you think something that is so controversial as an outcome could have been authorized by Congress unanimously in both chambers? And the answer is, of course not. And the takeaway from that is clearly because what they thought they were authorizing in unanimously supporting this law couldn't possibly be interpreted to cover this action. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a unanimous vote of both chambers. So that's sort of the like down and dirty explanation for why this has to have been a major doctrines question, why this has to have been something that was not allowed by the law, and why it doesn't make any sense for the Biden administration to claim they're justified under the HEROES Act of doing what they did. Now, there's all kinds of other legal arguments in the Supreme Court, but they mentioned this in part, and it's worth noting as a, here's why common sense says this couldn't have been what they meant. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
And this Blue Angels history is presented by Service Matters Realty.
Flying the A4 Skyhawks in 1981, the Blue Angels celebrated their 35th anniversary. It was hoped that this milestone would be commemorated with a Blue Angels postage stamp. An effort to get a postage stamp featuring the Blue Angels had been underway for many years. Though this effort was repeatedly turned down by the Postal Commission, in 1981 they did honor the Blue Angels with a stamp cancellation mark for use by post offices in two cities, Palm Springs, California, near NAS El Centro, and Pensacola, Florida, the team's home base. Also in celebration of their 35th anniversary, a star in the constellation Cephas was officially named Blue Angel Star. If you've got a very powerful telescope, you can find Blue Angel Star just beyond Polaris, the North Star, then out just a few hundred light years. Though the Blue Angels have made Pensacola their home since 1955, only one of Pensacola's native sons has ever flown as a Blue Angel pilot. His name was Mike Gershon. Mike was a 1971 graduate of Washington High School. He attended Pensacola Junior College and the University of West Florida. It was in his junior year at UWF that he was accepted into the Aviation Reserve Officer Candidate Program. He graduated from college in 1975 and was commissioned as an officer in the U.S. Navy in April of the following year. He earned his gold naval aviator's wings in May of 1977 upon completing flight training at NAS Pensacola. After 6.5 years of duty, he fulfilled a lifelong dream when he reported to the Blue Angels. But tragedy would befall Mike Gershon at an air show 22 months later. On July 13, 1985, the Blue Angels were performing a public air show in Niagara Falls, New York. The two solo jets, numbers 5 and 6, were approaching each other at a closing speed of nearly 1,000 miles per hour at the top of an opposing direction loop. In this maneuver, each jet was to pass the other with minimum separation. But they weren't far enough apart, and a mid-air collision occurred as Lieutenant Commander Mike Gershon's number 6 plane sliced off the tail of Lieutenant Andy Caputi's number 5 plane. Both jets crashed. Although Caputi managed to eject safely, Gershon was killed. He was 31 years old. I'll be back with more after this.
We love our military and first responders. Hi, I'm Suzanne Morgan with Service Matters Property Management, where we believe in doing more. We have a program designed specifically for military and first responders called Your Service Matters. If we manage your rental property through Service Matters Property Management, we will give you a 20% discount on the monthly management fee. It's our way of saying thank you to those who serve our country and community. Find out more, go to servicematterspm.com.
The Blue Angels move up to the state-of-the-art FA-18 Hornet in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve. And of course, we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Health and Hope Clinic this Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Executive Director Sally Bergosh will be here to give us an update on the clinic along with some exciting activities on the horizon. Health and Hope Clinic provides health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. That's Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Health and Hope Clinic providing help and hope to the hurting.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Hey, don't push me. Push a push pop.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I just want to use your love tonight.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
I ain't got many friends.
That is Spring Break 1988 for me. That's our driving music.
87.
Going to visit our friends in Disney, our friend who was working as an employee at, I think it was 80, it might have been 89. No, I got the wrong year on that. Sorry, that's 90, I don't do the math, carry the one. 91, I think it was. Anyway,
oh,
but yeah,
wow,
no, that
yeah.
was...
That was a hit in 1987, that's the outfield.
But that was the album we were listening to in the drive.
That whole album was great the whole way through, too.
I know,
cassette, I guess, in that case.
That's right, it was a cassette, that's right. Flip the cassette over, man. No, mine has auto reverse, it's a Cutlass. 728 on News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic for you.
I get why you have that snotty attitude now. As we just kidding. As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any snowdowns or delight. It is light.
No delight.
No delight. There's no delight if you're driving into work today. There's probably a big delight because you're in traffic in Pensacola and it's a little light today. So that is good news. Watch for your usual areas of construction. And I'm not showing any congestion aside from just, you know, traffic lights and stuff. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Groove is in the heart, Candy.
It is.
Did you say delight?
Aye.
Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Baltimore police say more than one gunman was involved in that shooting that killed two and wounded 28 people at a neighborhood block party. Speaking at a news conference on Sunday, Acting Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley confirmed that two people had been killed and nine others were still in the hospital. And former Vice President Mike Pence says he agrees with the U.S. support of Ukraine, but he believes President Biden is acting too slowly. Pence was on CBS's Face the Nation. He says that the Biden administration has not delivered on weapons that they promised months ago. And Pence just got back from Ukraine, where he met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
I think this is 3 weeks in a row that Pence is doing Sunday morning interviews. Like, picks one show. So it's right. Good. He's spreading it out a little bit. You know, that's strategic. 7:30 here on
strategery.
7:30
I love it.
Here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Oh, wow. Just there's nothing to be done about this now. Hey, coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk to our good friend Ryan Jenkins for our, our monthly now edition of, Year in the Life of the Farm. God, I love talking to Ryan. He's so great. Find out what's going on in the north end of Santa Rosa County with farming, peanuts, corn, soybeans. Not soybeans so much, but peanuts and corn primarily. What do you have coming up in your news, David?
Heat issues at Pensacola Beach. We'll talk to the lifeguards after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden spends the holiday at Camp David, and for the second week in a row, he's taken his embattled son, Hunter, who's set to plead guilty in his tax and gun case. Thousands of hotel workers on strike in Southern California walking the picket lines at many businesses. They are demanding higher pay and better health and retirement benefits. Georgia Congressman Buddy Carter pushing a bill requiring public schools to carry Narcan.
I keep Narcan in my backpack. I take it everywhere I go. Thankfully, I've not had to use it, and I hope I don't.
Now, the Republican earlier on Fox Business, Narcan is a nasal spray that can reverse a suspected opioid overdose. Police searching for the gunman who shot up a block party in Baltimore early Sunday, leaving two dead, 28 injured. Half of the victims are kids, including a 13-year-old boy and girl. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 85 right now. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola, and Pensacola Beach lifeguards say that the recent heat wave here in our area has caused a few problems out at the beach. They're encouraging anybody that's headed that direction over the next few days as they celebrate the holidays to be prepared.
Because it is hot, and don't be stuck out here with no water, no shade. Come early, come before it gets too hot, bring plenty of water. Alcohol is not hydrating, so bring water.
That is lifeguard supervisor Alex Johnson. He says every body has its limits, and if you're not hydrated, you might not be able to push through. There have reportedly been multiple heat-related incidents on the beach here in just the last few days. Scambia Fire Rescue wants people to make sure they have a working smoke detector wherever they happen to be sleeping at night. That includes RVs and trailers as well as houses. This comes after deadly fires at both a home and an RV here this last weekend.
I don't know exactly if this fire could be avoided, but, in my 30-plus year career, I have yet to be to a fatality. I've been to over 50 civilian fire fatalities in my career personally. I've yet to be to one that had an operational smoke detector. All 50 of them, where there was no sign of an operational active smoke detector.
And that's Escambia Fire Rescue Chief Kurt Isaacson. He says smoke detectors are needed in any building you plan to sleep in. Over the weekend, one man died in a house fire on North 8th Avenue in Pensacola. Another person died in a fire at an RV on Dubison Park on West Jackson Street. Both of those fires are still being investigated. A 7-year-old boy was taken to the hospital after being hit by a car on Via De Luna Drive. This was about a mile or so from Park East. FHP says the boy ran onto the roadway. The driver tried to swerve to avoid hitting him, but the boy still hit the side of the vehicle. Troopers say the boy was alert and conscious with minor injuries, and FHP says the boy's parents were walking with him when he suddenly dashed into the road and was struck. A woman died and a man suffered critical injuries in a motorcycle crash in Walton County yesterday. And FHP says that crash happened at County Road 3280 and Magnolia Lodge Road. The riders have been identified as a 50-year-old man and a 66-year-old woman from Freeport. A Tampa man being remembered for his ability to touch the lives of everybody he spoke to. That's what Chad Merritt said yesterday about his friend Joshua Crane. The 20-year-old Marine Lance Corporal died last month in a motorcycle crash in California. Merritt and other motorcycle riders took part over the weekend in a remembrance ride for Trinity. Or for Crane in Trinity, rather, and the funeral services taking place for the man today. School nurses from all around the country are gathered in Florida to discuss how to meet the challenges they face in their industry. They're having a school nurses conference in Orlando. The National Association of School Nurses Conference wraps up today, and one of the biggest issues they've been discussing is how to attract more people into the school nursing profession. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
All right, not showing any slowdowns or delays. A little light today, a little holiday light, of course, as we head into come out of what was a big holiday weekend. And, of course, tomorrow, 4th of July, we'll have a special traffic. And I think the show starts at 6 o'clock, too, if I'm not mistaken. Stay tuned. Ryan Jenkins is going to join us from Jenkins Farms shortly. Longleaf, Mobile, and Pine Forest, not showing any accidents. Still watching that bridge, of course, on Longleaf. Bell Lane and Sterling Way and Cyanamid and Milton and Pete Ridge all clear too. And if you have any traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Increasing rain chances and slightly cooler temperatures as we go through the holiday work week. Highs only into the lower 90s today and heat index values only up to about 100 degrees. We'll take the little victories there. Still going to be hot, but not quite as hot. Rain chance today during the afternoon sits at 30%. 4th of July has a slightly higher chance of rain during the afternoon at 40 to 50%, but right now encouraging signs by the evening on Tuesday, we should be dry. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
And it's already very warm today, sunny, and 85 in Pensacola, 85 also in Gulf Breeze, and the cool spot this morning, 78 in Milton. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Amid the threat of a downturn, Tesla chief Elon Musk wanted to boost sales volumes by offering discounts. Well, mission accomplished. In a new sales report, the electric vehicle maker smashed its record with 466,000 cars delivered in the second quarter. That's 83% more than the same period last year. And Tesla's shares are soaring, up 6% pre-market. Severe weather events continue to increase nationwide, in part due to climate change. With a rise in things like wildfires and hurricanes, insurance companies themselves are having to pay more. That's because they pay for reinsurance, in other words, the insurance that insurance companies use to offset losses. Well, on July 1st, reinsurance rates for catastrophic property damage rose by as much as 50%. Starting the second half of the year on Wall Street, where futures are mixed, the market seems to be catching its breath after gains of 2% last week. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Shooing seagulls away from our beach snacks is easy, but keeping my frequent heartburn away, that was a full-time job. I had to chew up to 10 antacids a day to manage it. Then I tried Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day blocks my frequent heartburn for a full 24 hours, giving me one-and-done heartburn relief. Thanks to Prilosec OTC, now my heartburn's on vacation too.
Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack.
Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, that music tells you it is time for us to talk to our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Happy Independence Day Eve, by the way.
You too.
Absolutely. So where are you at in your crops right now? What are you guys working on these days? I mean, you got, I think, and always you feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but you got all your crops in, so now we're just, you know, you just sit back and smoke on your pipe and wait for everything to turn out okay, right?
Yeah, you pretty much take about a 3 month long vacation and then come back in the fall and harvest them. right now it's a whole lot of sweating, to tell you the truth. It's been rough these last 2 or 3 weeks, but actually things are looking good. I'm very pleased with where we are right now with our crop. We did have a dry spell, and then, of course, that was followed by a very wet spell, and now we're kind of getting in a more favorable pattern where we don't want too much of either one. You know, we don't want too much wet or too much dry. So with these afternoon thunderstorms coming like they are now, it's kind of falling into place for us. But there's a whole lot of we have to scout our crops. You know, you go to every field every week and just make sure there are no pests out there or unwanted weeds or anything like that or any kind of diseases. It's kind of like taking care of your kids at home. You have to check on them every day and make sure everybody's doing okay. And so there's a lot of that. That's time consuming when you're spread out over a big area, but things are looking good. We're currently, you know, this is the time of year where we do a lot of spraying, and still in the young crops, you know, we're applying our nitrogen. It's still a busy time, but it's not quite as bad as it is in the spring and the fall.
When you do spraying, is that primarily from an airplane or from some other kind of device?
Most in our area, you know, probably 90% of it is with, we call them ground rigs, you know, machinery that's specifically built for spraying. That's all it does. It's just a sprayer. That's all it can do is spray. And that's how we apply most of our crop protection products during the summer.
Do you ever get people, because I had read some stories not that long ago about, you know, people in some areas where they have built it right up against the farmland, right, which is a problem, you know, not conserving that space around the farmland, not buffering it really. But the idea about, you know, people complaining about the crop dusting because they don't know what it is and they're scared or whatever. Do you guys ever get anybody like that complain about the ground-based crop dusting or spraying that you do?
Oh, yeah. That's a problem. You know, we've talked before about losing our farmland to people moving out to the country from the city. But so part of the problem is losing the land, and then part of the other problem is people that are moving in not being ag friendly or not understanding what we do. And, you know, most of the time, if we can get to them and talk to them, we can help them better understand what we're doing. You know, when you see this big machine out there spraying, we've talked about this before on the show, spraying crop protection products across the field, very, 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 very minute amount of that per acre is actually a true chemical, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
99% of it is water. It's just the carrier. I mean, the active ingredient of that product that we're putting out might only be, you know, a few cc's, a few milliliters, you know, about like taking NyQuil, the little cup that comes with NyQuil, taking that and spreading it out over an entire acre.
Huh.
That much, only that much is an active ingredient. So it's not what it appears. We just have to have a carrier to be able to spread it out enough to be able to apply it to our crops and get good coverage, and that's where the water comes in.
I know you're more diplomatic than I would be, because I'd be like, but you like to eat though, right?
That's what I'm thinking the whole time. I'm like, it looks like you hadn't missed a meal in quite a while, but I don't I don't say it, you know, but I'm thinking it. I just, you know.
Yeah. Those pants sure do fit. Those pants, they might be a little tight, but I see you wear them, the ones made of cotton that I grew. I see, okay.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it. That's what I'm thinking the whole time.
That's so funny. You know, one of the things I was going to ask you about is, you know, prices this year. I know last year, when you say that, you know, the crops seem to be coming in well, I know one of the questions we had talked about in the past, you know, like the cotton needs so many of the heat units in order to get there, to which your heat dome might actually be useful as long as it doesn't kill them with lack of water, but that seems to not be a problem. But last year, I remember doing a lot of talk with you about where prices were, and you were kicking yourself because cotton had gone up and then it fell off and you didn't, you know, buy right at the high time or whatever. How do the prices seem to be looking at this point in the year for cotton and peanuts?
Peanuts are pretty good. The prices for them are pretty good. Therefore, we can turn a profit this year, you know, if we have an average crop. Cotton, on the other hand, the prices are low. We're about, we're probably about 20 cents, 15 to 20 cents a pound under where we need to be to feel comfortable.
Okay.
For this year. So it's not, cotton's not looking good. And the cotton crop looks good for the time that it is right now, but the price for that commodity does not look good. So, well, I'm very concerned about the cotton.
Okay.
Cotton payment this year. Yeah.
We're talking to Ryan Jenkins. He's the owner of Jenkins Farms. Ryan, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns. Taking a look at Jay, not showing any slowdowns there on any north end of Escambia or Santa Rosa County. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms. And Jay, Ryan, I got an odd question for you because we joke about, you know, you just take 3 months off and wait for the crops to come in. Obviously, you're working a ton. I was just curious, I guess it's because I happen to be reading this part of the Bible right now, but do you guys work 7 days? Do you work 6 days? Do you, you know, I just don't know what the habit is for farmers, and, you know, I just have no idea, so I'm just kind of curious. 5 days, you know, what is the work week like for you?
Well, during the spring and during the fall, during planting season and during harvest season, we pretty much have to work as much as we can. You know, I definitely don't like to work on Sundays. But we do. I figure if our crops are there to be harvested and God's given us a pretty day to do it, and maybe it's going to rain later in the week or whatever, we'll work on Sunday. But for the most part, we're 5 or 6 days a week, pretty much year round.
Okay.
Except during the winter. During the winter, we'd be 5 days a week, but this time of the year, you know, depending on weather and what's coming or what has come, you know, maybe it's rained all week and now it's pretty and you have to work on the weekend. You have to work on the weekend, but 5 to 6 days on average, 7 days in the spring and fall.
So
some early, stay late.
So kind of the, I don't know, just the follow up to that, I guess, is, so when you go to like a rural church that's primarily populated by farmers, is it one of those, like, you know, hey, look, we're really full in January, not so full in in September and October. Is that right? Like, oh, it's a good crop. You know, it's raining. Everybody's here. It's not raining. Everybody's out there. Is that true?
Yeah, you'll notice that, you know, sometimes during crunch time, the farmers are missing from church. You'll definitely
That's what I was wondering.
That.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
We are up on the 4th of July, obviously, and you're a peanut farmer. So do you have any recommendations for if people want to, you know, do their own boiled peanuts today?
I do. We talk about this a lot. I try to take boiled peanuts everywhere we go. We always, from the Blue Angels, we always take the boat out and end up with a lot of friends because I always take a boatload of boiled peanuts. But it's a tradition of ours for July 4th and for Blue Angels weekend, you know, that we always have boiled peanuts. So I would suggest, if you want the perfect July 4th celebration, or if you want the perfect day at the Blue Angels, you go buy some green peanuts. They're in season now. Green peanuts mean they're a little bit immature. They're fresh out of the ground. They haven't been dried or anything like that. And you boil those. You go to a place that sells green peanuts, and there are places in all the surrounding counties. Get you some. Go put them in a big cooker like I do mine outside on a propane cooker, like if you were frying a turkey or having a shrimp boil or something like that, a big pot like that. Fill it up with water. Get you a couple of cups full of rock salt, ice cream salt. Put that in there. Put your peanuts in. Boil them. After about an hour, hour and a half of boiling them, start sampling them. And at that time, you're just checking for the texture of the peanut. You're seeing if it's too crunchy or too soft, or you're trying to get the texture like you want it. The salty flavor will not be right yet.
Okay.
You're just doing for texture. And once you get the texture like you want it, turn the heat off, and then you let them continue soaking in that salt water. And you're testing them all along, right? This is a process. This is a fun time while you're doing other things. But you keep testing them, and then when the right saltiness, when you get the right saltiness, you pour the water off of them. And don't pour the water in your yard because it'll kill wherever it hits because of the salt water. But anyway, that's how you get the perfect boiled peanut. And if you're the person that likes the Cajun peanuts, put a couple of boxes of crab boil in there while you're boiling them. In the same way, you just keep tasting for flavor once you get the texture part right.
All right.
When they get as hot or as salty as you want them, pour the water off and you're done. Enjoy.
So it's cook them to get the right texture and then soak them to get the right flavor.
That's it.
All right. It'll
never happen at the same time. The texture and the flavor.
Right.
That's where people mess up.
Well, that's the calculus, though. All right. Very good. We always like to end with a farm fact. Do you have one for today?
I do. We've done this before on the show. On the major holidays, American Farm Bureau has a standard, whatever that holiday meal is, that they check every year. They've done it for years and years, and they just kind of see how the grocery prices are. And I would love to know, I'm going to ask them one day where they shop at, because they have the cheapest prices of anybody I've ever seen in my life. But they say this year for a typical July 4th holiday meal to feed 10 people, that the price would be $67.73. The important part of that is, you know, it's a standard thing, but it's the same meal they do every year. So last year it was about $2 higher. So we're down about $2 this year for the cost of that meal. But the part that I want everybody to understand is, you know, as they see grocery store prices fluctuate, they need to understand out of that $67.73, only a little over $9 of that is what goes to the farmer. So about 14% of what they get at the grocery store is what goes to the farmer. So it's when they see the prices going up and down, they think the farmers are sitting there getting rich. That's just not the case.
And out of that $9, that's not pocket money for you. That $9 then gets spent to cover your loans and your equipment and your gas and your employees and your seed and your spray, right?
Absolutely. Yes, correct. So, yeah, it's just a drop in the bucket.
So out of the small cut, your actual profit, if there is one, really minor. Ryan Jenkins, he is our owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us once a month on the first Monday of the month to talk about the farm this year. Ryan, as always, man, thank you for what you do. Thanks for educating us. We still continue to get so much positive feedback on the segments that we do with you. So thanks for being such a great voice for farmers in general. And thanks for feeding and clothing my kids, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. I hope everybody has a great 4th of July and a great Blue Angels week.
Absolutely. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Brad.
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Duty, honor. You chose to put on the uniform, to go when called upon, to get the job done, to preserve our way of life. At Peden, we're proud to serve all those who serve our country, to be there when called upon, to get the job done, to preserve your way of life. It's a badge of honor to be helping our military, our veterans, and their families. You gave an oath to protect our homeland. It's our mission to protect your home.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Listen, Lane, I think we should talk. We've been seeing an awful lot of each other lately, and I really think it's in my best interest if I went out with someone more popular. Better looking, drives a nicer car.
In my best interest if I date somebody better than you. 7:55
like
on News
Howard
Radio.
Cosell guys.
I know, those are my favorite part.
Lane Meyer.
Lane Meyer, a disappointed young teenager. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, better off dead.
Yeah.
Candy's got traffic on the fives.
80s movies were the best, weren't they?
Well, they all hold up really well.
It is weird watching me like, oh my God. Roads are fine. Cervantes clear through the curve on the scenic. Taking a look downtown, Detroit, Johnson. I guess it's not downtown, the other side. I'm sorry. Detroit, Johnson, Olive, Cody Lane on the north side, not showing any slowdowns. Pensacola, taking a look downtown now. Chase, Gregory, and Garden all clear. Hey, if you have a traffic tip, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, it gives me the idea for it's not going to be today, but a segment that would be fun would be movie scenes, classic movie scenes that we would see differently today.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like John Cusack and Say Anything. Oh, what a great romantic gesture. Ah, looks a little bit like stalking.
That's right. You're going to go to jail or, you know, Revenge of the
Nerds. And he's wearing a trench coat. God.
Yeah,
all
to
right.
Be worse. Yeah.
Hey, if you are getting ready to do some work, remodeling, repairing anything in the house, or you build houses for a living, Pensacola Hardware, that's the place. Okay, not just great stuff, and great stuff in the front, too, that's like the housewares, the, you know, the grills and the cooking gear and the gumbo pots and the Yeti merchandise. I mean, especially if you're going to be out on the boat for the 4th or for Blue Angels, great place to go buy your merchandise for that. But also, they've got all of the hardware that you need. And not just that they have it and have it in stock, all that's true, but that they know how to use it, how to install it, what to do, how to solve the problem. So, you know, like, there's only two reasons to ask for advice at Pensacola Hardware: when you know how to do something, when you don't know how to do something. Like, both. Like, ask, you know, for what they think, because they'll tell you. They've been around for more than 172 years, since 1851. Older than Levi's, older than the Civil War. Like, that's how long. One of the 50 oldest companies in the entire United States. Stop by and see why. Downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, airports across the nation have been dealing with travel issues as a record number of Americans are flying on the holiday weekend. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the Biden administration is working to reduce travel issues.
Even as we're holding the airlines accountable on customer service, we're also partnering with them at the operational level to solve those tactical problems that can come up hour by hour when you have a thunderstorm, a staffing issue, or anything else.
And FlightAware reporting about 600 flights were canceled yesterday. Not quite as many today. I think earlier there was a report of about 100 nationwide. Looking at the Pensacola airport, only seeing one canceled flight to Houston and a couple of delays. And, well, just ahead of the 4th of July holiday, an industry group projecting fireworks sales are going to top $2.4 billion in the U.S. this year. The American Pyrotechnics Association says consumer fireworks retailers are expecting sales to increase by $100 million over last year.
Wait, what was that price again?
$100 million over last year.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. We have way too much fun. I love it so much. Hey, when it comes to heating or cooling your home, you got a lot of choices for HVAC maintenance, repairs, or work. You want to be sure you're calling the right company. You're going to get the right products, the right installation, and then a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That's Peden. Air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, they'll take care of all of that stuff. In fact, right now, we're in hurricane season, right? And we've had storms. We've lost power, right? $1,000 off your Briggs & Stratton whole home generator. So now is the time. You know, give them a call and get a good discount. Also, free sewer camera inspections with $250 off repairs if you need a repair to be done. They're hiring in Baldwin County, HVAC techs and plumbers, and they are serving Baldwin County now. So again, that's Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, Plumbing. They'll take care of all of those needs. They've got local folks right here, and you can find out more at Peden, that's P-E-A-D-E-N.com. Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us next from Santa Rosa County. Stick around.